Gemara in the end of the first perek in Bava Basra speaks about the different 24 Sfarim in Tanakh, who authored the various Sfarim. So the Gemara has a statement, Moshe Kosev Sifro uParshas Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Chamisha Chumshe Torah and Parshas Bilam as well. So on the side of the Gemara, they have printed to look in the Shalom where he raises a question, what's the Chiddush of Parshas Bilam? Parshas Bilam is one of the Parshas in the Chumash. So once you say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Chumash, so Parshas Bilam is included. So some say that Parshas Bilam is a different Sefer. It's not referring to the Parshas HaShavua of Balak. But in the name of Rav Dov Soloveitchik, they printed that there is a comment in the Sifrei on the Pasuk in the end of Chumash, V'lokom Navyobi Sokamash Eshadu Hashem Panim El Panim. So the Sifrei has a comment, V'lokom Navyobi Yisrael Kemoshe Abel Ba'umas Ha'olam Kam. That's the third Pasuk from the end of the whole Chamisha Chumash Torah. Among the Jews, the highest Navi, the greatest Navi was Moshe Rabbeinu, but by the Umas Ha'olam, there was a Navi who was on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Bilam. So one might have mistakenly thought that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest Navi, and whatever he says is direct dictation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we learn our dinim from the Psukim, we learn our dinim from the fact that we believe the whole Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. We learn our dinim, when the word is written mole or chaser, when there's an extra phrase, a missing phrase, because we assume everything was dictated word for word, letter for letter. So the same is, you learn Adinam from Nevuas Bilam, which didn't he learn from Nevuas Bilam? Part of his Nevuah is V'dam Chalolim Yishte. That's in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Perk Chav Dalet, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Chav Dalet, Chav Dalet, in Parshas Bilam. So the Gemara says that there was Zayin Mashkin, that a Machshel Lekabel Tuma, one of them is Dam Ha'odom, only Dam Sha'anisham Ha'yotzeba, Dam Chalolim Yishte. The person bleeds a little bit, so that's not a Mashkin. Dam Chalolim, the Dam that has the din of a mashke. Yishte, it's considered a mashke. So one might have thought that when Bilam, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu said his nevuas had the level of Torah, so one might think that when Bilam was on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, and he delivered his nevuas, also had a din of Torah. So that's what the Gemara says. No, Moshe Kosov Sifro uParshas Bilam. Parshas Bilam didn't have the din of Torah until Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. It may not necessarily, when the Chumash, the Ramban has this klal on Zohar Zem Shabbos Lakatcha, the Ramban, the Ben Ezra raises a question on Parshas Yisra, on the Pasuk Zohar Zem Shabbos Lakatcha. Why is the Gemara only concerned about the discrepancy in the text of the Aseres Adibis between Yisra and Varschanan regarding Zohar Veshomer? There are other discrepancies as well. The Ben Ezra raises the question. So the Ramban explains, we don't know exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed at Maimon HaSinai, said Aseres HaDibros. We don't know exactly what was written in the Luchas. What it says in the Chumash is not necessarily direct quotation word for word. Let's say they quote Paro, they quote Balak. It may not necessarily be word for word. You learn out, the Yerushalmi, I think, learns that Malish Luzas V'nit L'Luchog HaMazels Loban says that let Yankov Avinu celebrate is Shibbos Mishta with Leah, and then he'll celebrate another Shibbos Mishta with Rachel. So the Yishami learns that, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha, from that Pasuk. So you learn from some Lovin Harami, you learn Adin from Lovin Harami. It's not necessarily what he said, direct the quotation from what he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. He wrote, put in that this is what he said. It's not necessarily what he said. It's not a lie, but it's not the direct quotation. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it like this indicates a din, Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So here also, the Chumash quotes V'dam Chalol Mishta may not necessarily be what he said. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write down what Bilam said. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, write down V'dam Chalol Mishta. Then I had it when it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, then I had a din of Torah. We shouldn't think that because Bilam was on such a high level of Nebuah in a certain way, he was compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, that whatever he said has a din of Torah automatically. That's not so. That's the famous bio from Rav Albala Soloveitchik. V'dam Chalolim Yishta. That's why it says Moshe Kosov Sifro Parshas Bilam. I thought maybe there's another reason. Rashi writes in the beginning of Perek Chelek, the next Perek in Sanhedrin, that whoever doesn't believe in Tchias HaMeisim is Ein L'Chelik Yalam Abba. And then Rashi explains on the opening Mishnah, it's not enough that you have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim. You have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim in our Torah. You have to believe that it says it in Chumash. All the Ikori HaAmuna. Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Ikori HaAmuna. The Rambam lists of 13 Ikori HaAmuna. So we believe that all of the Ikori HaAmuna appear in the Chumash, not just in Tanakh. So the Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Melachim, the last few chapters, that's the very end of the whole Rambam. The Rambam, the end of the Mishnah Torah, writes about the coming of Mashiach. So he says, the coming of Mashiach was told to us by all of the prophets and by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was, it disappears, Nevuas Bilam appears in the Chumash. Moshe Kosov Sifro Parshas Bilam, because Parshas Bilam has the Iker of Bias HaMashiach. He says, Dorach Koichem Yaika become Shevet Yisrael. So the Rambam says that, and that the Gemara says, Dorach Koichem Yaika is a reference to Mashiach. And that pasuk, there's a famous comment from the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. Is the Melech HaMashiach to be compared to a shooting star, Dorach Koichem Yaika, or to a government, become Shevet Yisrael? So the Orach Chaim says there are many psukim that the Gemara interprets. Be'ita achishena, one of the Haftaras ends up. Be'ita achishena, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, he will send Mashiach be'ito when it comes the right time, and maybe achishena, maybe I'll hasten it. I mean, so the Gemara says it's a contradiction. Is Mashiach going to come be'ito when it's good and ready, when it's the time, or achishena earlier? So the Gemara says, if Zohu, if the Israel deserve it, then it'll be achishena. If they don't deserve it, then it'll be be'ito. The other psukim like that, but one pasuk says that Mashiach will come oni berechev al chamor. Oni means unov, a humble person riding on a donkey. Donkeys go very slowly. Horses gallop quickly. Donkeys go very slowly. So the pasuk seems like it's describing the coming of Mashiach is going very slowly. Then on the other hand, the pasuk says derech koichem yankev, a shooting star, and the other pasuk says in Daniel it says, like the clouds in the sky go so quickly, so many miles an hour, so quickly, Imanoni Shmaya, the Mashiach is going to be flying in the air with the clouds. That's a contradiction. Is it going to come very slowly like a donkey, or is it going to be very, very fast like the clouds and like the shooting star? So the Gemara says, if Zohu, it'll be fast, and if Lo Zohu, it'll be a slow process. When something happens, B'derech HaTeva, so things develop slowly. One thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. It's yes, Mitzrayim was very fast, very quick, so that was Mamish Lamayla Menateva. And other historical developments occur very slowly. So that's what Dorach Chaim has such a comment on the Pasuk. Dorach Koichav Meyankiv, become Shevet Meisol. If the Bnei Yisrael will be Zecha, then it'll be Dorach Koichav. Melech HaMashiach will be like a shooting star. It'll come quickly, Lamayla Menateva, and it'll come quickly. And if they won't be Zecha, then it'll be Kom Shevet Yisrael, it'll be a miserable government. That's what in the early years in Eretz Yisrael, and now also, a lot of people are very unhappy about the government. The religious Jews are unhappy, but the non-observant Jews are also unhappy. Everybody's unhappy about the government in Eretz Yisrael. What can you do? So that's the Orach Chaim has that comment. Rabbi Kiva thought that Bar Kochva was going to be the Melech HaMashiach. His name was really Shimon ben Kuziva. And Bar Kochva was a nickname they gave him because Rabbi Kiva thought he's Dorach Koichem, he's going to turn out, he may turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. He was a religious man. They have the Bar Kochva letters, that he sent letters to the generals and the army that make sure that you mafrish Trumas and Maisis before Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to, and Tevel is Mukze, so don't move around the sacks of food unless you are mafrish Maisis in advance. So he was an observant man. That's why Rabbi Akiva thought that he was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach. The Rambam, when the Rambam talks about Mashiach in the last few prokim in the Mishnah Torah, the end of Hilchos Melachim, so he writes that Rabbi Akiva and all the Chachamim of his generation thought he was going to turn out to be the Melech HaMashiach, and then when he was killed by the Romans, so they realized that it's just not so. Apparently they didn't believe in the second coming of Mashiach. If they killed him, goodbye and good luck, that's the end. So they all ask on the Rambam. It doesn't seem like this in the Gemara. Rambam writes that Rabbi Kiva and all of his contemporaries thought that he may turn out to be a Mashiach. The Gemara seems to present it was Rabbi Kiva thought so, And all the others disagree with Rabbi Akiva. They told Rabbi Akiva, Yalu asabin bilchayecha, vadayin ben David leibo. You're going to be dead and buried, Rabbi Akiva, and grass is going to grow on top of your grave. Yalu esev, grass will grow bilchayecha on your cheeks. They'll be buried 6 feet under, and grass will grow on top of you. Vadayin ben David leibo, because they all had a tradition. Rabbi Akiva never heard of the tradition. They all had a tradition that the world, the Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah quotes, that the world is going to last 6,000 years. And that's what the Rekech says, that there's a remez in the opening pasuk Bereishis Bar Elokim, the letter Aleph appears 6 times, and Aleph means 1,000. So the fact that it's 6 Alephs means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, is going to last for 6,000 years. And then, Shis Aleph and Shin Havi Alma, the world is going to last 6,000 years, and then it's going to be Chorev. That this, we're not sure exactly what that means, Chorev, it means it's going to be a geula after 6,000 years. And then the Gemara breaks down the 6,000 years to 3 units. Gemara says the first 2,000 years is Tohu, people are worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then after the year 2,000 is going to Shnei Alofim Torah. What happened, Shnei Alofim Torah? So the Gemara says if you just add up plain arithmetic, you add up and says how old was Adam when his son Shes was born, Hamoma Shes, when Canaan, Enosh, Mahalalel, every generation, add it up, so you'll make the addition, Avraham Avinu was born between Adam Arishon and Noach was 10 generations, then to Avraham Avinu was another 10 generations, so Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948. That's the Cheshbon. Then the Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition that Avraham Avinu was 52 years old when he started preaching monotheism in public. So that's the beginning of the Shnei Alofim Torah. Avraham Avinu believed privately in monotheism, but he didn't start preaching Torah in public and Muna in monotheism until he was 52. So that's the beginning of Shnei Alofim Torah. Then the Gemara said the last 2,000 years is Shnei Alofim and Mosa Mashiach. Mashiach can come at any time. So at the time of Rabbi Akiva was right after the Churban Abayis. He lived to the Churban, right after the Churban Abayis. It wasn't yet the year 4,000. So the other Chachamim said, we have a tradition. Mashiach is not going to come till Shnei Alofim Mimos HaMashiach. So that's why they disagreed with him. They say, it's Adayin Lo Higia Hazman. The Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah has a brisa that was written before the year 4,000, an early brisa. So the brisa says, you shouldn't buy real estate in Chutz Loretz when it comes close to the year 4,000, because Mashiach can come any day. After the year 4,000, Mashiach could come at any time. So if you buy real estate and then Mashiach comes, so the goyim will know that they won't pay you a penny because everyone's going to move to Eretz Israel, and they won't even give you a dollar. They know that you'll leave, so you'll leave the real estate behind. So that's the that's the famous comment that Gemara has on the pasuk Dorch Koich Me'anker. It was a description of the Melech HaMashiach. His real name, Bar Koich, his real name was Ben Kuziva. He used to be a professor Solomon Zeitlin in Philadelphia, in Dropsy College. He's famous for his book, Who Killed Jesus? Solomon Zeitlin. That says on the first page of the book. So he used to teach Jewish history. He was not so learned at all. Not so learned at all. I remember they wanted to evaluate the yeshiva. The middle states sent people to evaluate the whole college. Every couple of years they sent someone. Then they wanted to evaluate the learning also. So they sent Solomon Zeitlin. So he spoke to Rabbi Zalvechik. What? Shaitas. He didn't know anything. He walked into the kollel. The kollel was learning Baba Kama that year. So he looks around. So he asked the boys, did they reach the sugya of Shalom Idas yet? So he told them, that's not in Baba Kama. That's in Baba Metzia. He didn't remember. He didn't know. So he used to say, which nobody agrees with him, he always had his own opinion about everything. Everyone laughed at everything that he said. So he was of the opinion that Bar Kuziva was the nickname that they gave him. Kozov means Shekhar v'Chozov. It's a nickname that they gave him when they realized that he's not Mashiach. That wasn't his real name. Everybody assumes that was his real name, Shimon Bar Kuziva. And Bar Kochba was the nickname that the Rebbe Kiva gave him because he thought that he's going to be Dor Kocha Me'anka. Yeah.
How do we, if Mashiach is only possible in the last Alpine
2,000 years, yeah.
How do we understand, like, the when they talk about like
Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, going to change the plans. The original plan was going to be only the last 2,000 years. It was, I think, the Maharsha said that. Baruch Hashem is considering changing the plans. But because Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira, so then we lost the opportunity. So it could be the Bisker of the Avala Salvation thought that Moshe Kos of Sifra, Parshas Bilam, means that it didn't become a Chepta Shal Torah, and you couldn't have darshan Dam Chalolim Yishta till after it was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's not necessarily so that that's what Bilam said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, write Dam Chalolim Yishta in order to teach this din, but it's not necessarily the way Bilam presented it. But Od Yishlami could also be another reason why they said Moshe Kosvah Sifra Parshas Bilam, that the Amunah in Bias HaMashiach appears. The Rambam emphasizes that. Whoever doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach, not only is he in contradiction to all the words of the Nevi'im, several Nevi'im write about the coming of Mashiach, he's contradicting what it says in Chumash. The Moshe Rabbeinu and the Chumash recorded this belief in the coming of Mashiach. In the middle of the Nevuah Bilam, you have Matovo Alecha Yaakov, and it says that that's supposed to be on the top of the column. And the siman is Beis Yud Hei, Shin Mem Vav, the Koshimo. These are the six psukim that have to be on the top line in the column. The base is Bereshis Bar Alekim, that we know. And the Mem is Matovo. The Yud is a big machloikas, whether it's Yud Ato Yoducha Achecha. That's in Parshas Vayechi. When Yaakov Avinu gives all the brachas of the different traditions, some hold that the word Yehuda should be on the top of the line, top of the column, and some hold that Yoducha, Yehuda ata Yoducha Achecha. So that's a big question. They ask, how can it be Yoducha? Yehuda only has five letters, Yud, Hey, Vav, Dalet, Hey. Ato has three letters, that's only eight letters. And the word Yehuda ata Yoducha Achecha starts a new psucha, I think. That's the beginning of a new line. The previous pasuk goes, stops in the middle of the pasuk, and then it's empty till the end. That's a psucha. Then Yehuda Atah. And the din is that if you only write nine letters on a line, the Sefer Torah is pasul. So yeah. So if you hold that the yud of Bekor Shemo is Yoducha, you have to assume that Bekor Shemo is Ma'akeh B'Di'evet, and it takes precedence over the other din that's Ma'akeh B'Di'evet. If you only have less than nine letters on a line, it's possible because Bekoshmo is also Ma'akeh B'Di'evet. That's also Machlokes. Is that Ma'akeh B'Di'evet? If you didn't, Bereshis, of course, is going to be on the top line. That's a double posha. But the Shad is Matovo Alecha. If you wrote a Sefer Torah, you don't have Matovo, you don't have the others on top of the line. But it'd be Ma'akeh B'Di'evet. So that's a discussion in the Svarim about when they write about the Masorah, whether that's Ma'akeh B'Di'evet. The Gemara has a discussion regarding the Pasuk in the middle of Nevuas Bilam. Hashem Bo. So the Gemara says that when you recite the Musaf Dikashman Esra on Rosh Hashanah, you have to have 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 psukim for Zechariah, 10 psukim for Shofaros, and you have 3 psukim for Chumash, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 psukim from Nevim, and you end off with the 4th pasuk from Chumash. So the Gemara says, Malchus, you don't have 4 psukim in the Chumash that have Malchus. So one of the psukim is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And one of the psukim the Gemara said that counts is that you only have 3 psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as a melech in the Chumash. Hashem Yimlach Yalnabod is one of them at the end of the Shiras Hayam. And another one is this one, Truas Melech Bo. It counts for Malchus. Some Mefarshim interpret Truas Melech Bo, the blasting of the trumpets announcing that Moshe Rabbeinu is the melech. But the Gemara assumes that it goes on Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Truas Melech Bo. So the Gemara said that pasuk, the Truas Melech Bo, can be used both from Malchus, from one of the 4 psukim from Chumash, we use it, and for Shofar. Truas Melech Bo, the Ramban al Chumash and several other Meforshim understand, translate, Truas Miloshin Reyus. We have the friendship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean Trua, blessing of the Shofar. The Gemara has that as an additional level of interpretation and pasuk. A lot of times you have a Goyish novelist who write a poem or a novel or something, and they have more than one kavanah. They have an obvious intention in writing the book, and then they have a hidden intention. Sometimes they have two hidden intentions. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash, the Moshe Rabbeinu, in such a way that there's Pshuta Shel Mikra, and then there are drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. Sometimes you have an Asmachta, that's a different thing, but you have drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Gemara, the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah, right? The Gemara never said, Ein by Mikra, Elo Pshuto, that the only thing that's true is Pshuto Shel Mikra. The Gemara says, Ein Mikra Yetzim Midei Pshuto. Pshuto is also true. You see from the context of the Gemara that that's what it means. The Gemara in Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I think that Rav Kahana, I forgot already, one of the Amoraim, learned in Yeshiva for 16 years, and he thought that only the drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh are emes. And he thought you were going to Pshuto Shel Mikra. So after 16 years, the Rebbe said no. And Rabbi Kehetzmidei Pshuto, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is also emes. But the Ramban says, the Gemara never meant to say, a lot of times you have a teacher who teaches Tanakh, and he says, you ignore all the drushes of Torah Shebal Peh, only the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So the Ramban says, the Gemara never said that. The Gemara said, Pshuto Shel Mikra is also binding. You have to observe what it says in Pshuto Shel Mikra. So this pasuk, the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the Ramban and the other Mefarshim Achum, say, Trust Melech Bo means we have the Yedidus, the friendship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's with the Jewish people. But as an additional level of interpretation, we translate Trust Melech, the blessing of the Shofar. So we say that that's acceptable for Shofar, so we use the same pasuk twice. We use it for Shofar, so Lelekan Lelekan, the Gemara says, we use it for Shofar, and we use it for Malchus as well. The Gemara has a machlokes in Masechus Shabbos and in Bava Metzia, other places where the Tzav Balei Chaim is deraisa derabbanan. So the Rambam writes in one of his letters, in the collected letters, he writes that Tzav Balei Chaim is deraisa has learned that from Parshas Balak, that the Malach appears to him and he says, Lama hikisa asenacha? Why did you hit your osay? So he says, you see the famous that there's a din of Tzav Balei Chaim deraisa. How can it be? The Rambam just makes that comment. He doesn't ask it as a kasha. So people ask, if the Rambam has this mocha, the Gemara never says that mocha. The Rambam has the mocha, how could there be a mocha like this? And the Gemara says, it's very obvious the answer. Everybody agrees that that Tzav Balei Chaim is the right to cause pain to an animal for no good reason. You should be the source of the pain. That's of course the right. The Gemara has a mocha like this, a different case. My behemoth fell into a pit. I didn't push it into the pit. It fell in and the behemoth is suffering. So on Shabbos, would you permit me to violate some dinim derabbanon in order to save the animal? So the Gemara says, if the consideration of Tzav Balei Chaim is deraisa, even in such a case, I'm not the cause of the pain. I didn't push the behemoth. The behemoth fell in, there was an accident. So if Tzav Balei Chaim, if it's my animal, it's my responsibility, I have to help it out, so then that's so important, that would permit you to violate dinim derabbanon. But if Tzav Balei Chaim is lav deraisa, so the Gemara says, maybe you're not meikel. But the other Tzav Balei Chaim, if you hit the animal, then everybody agrees that that Tzav Balei Chaim is deraisa. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos gives a list of various things that were created, Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. So the Mishnah says that Piha Asoi, Asar Dina, Asar Advarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. One of them was the Piha Asoi, that normally an Asan doesn't speak, Asan, whatever language it speaks, but it doesn't speak a human language. Well, here is a miracle that the Asan spoke. So there's a famous Rambam in the Mor and the Bucham. The Rambam says the whole thing was a chazon and a chalom and a mara. Yeah, so that's, what do you mean it's a mara? So it's against the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It's against the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Okay, so the Rambam holds that there are other, he thinks there are other sources that seem to indicate that it was all an Amara Hanavu, it wasn't real. The Rambam says the same about Yaakov Avinu. He says Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach, and the Malach broke his leg. He says the whole thing was Amara Hanavu. So the Ramban HaChumash says the Kasha was Amara Hanavu. How come when he woke up, why was he limping? It was just a dream. He went to the movies and saw a movie, so why was he limping? So the Ritva has a whole sefer where he answers some of the defends some of the things in Mor and Nebuchadnezzar. So he says that sometimes there's a psychosomatic sickness. A person in his mind, he saw a video that he was fighting with a Malach, broke his leg. So he wakes up in the morning after the dream is over and he's limping. He's imagining that he's limping. Nothing happened to him. Anyway, that's in today's parsha. The Rambam thinks that the pihos had never happened. The whole thing was just a marahan of wet, and the Mishnah doesn't seem to hold like that. The Mishnah seems to assume that it really did happen. The Gemara in Brachas discusses that we recite for Kriya Shema the two parshas that say Bishach Becha Uvukumecha. Rashi, the opening Mishnah in Brachas, Rashi seems to be of the opinion that only the parsha Rishon of Shema is deraisa. It says in the second parsha also Bishach Becha Uvukumecha. So Rashi holds like the Gemara Daf Chaf Ubedi B'Teru Hu Dichsiv. I mean, you should learn by Yom HaBalayla. It does mean you have to say Kriya Shema. The first Taisus in Brachas argues with Rashi and say no. Pshach Boch Gomecha and the first and the second parshas mean the same thing. They both mean that that you have to recite Shema Ba'oyam Shemaim and Atur. What's Vayomer? So the parshas Vayomer is not part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's the mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim. So why do we say it together with Kriya Shema? So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik explained that just like it says in Aseres Hadibros, Anochi Hashem Alokecha Sheho Tzegsicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Ibn Ezra quotes the question from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Why do you say Hashem Tzegsicha? The Baruch Shem is the one who created the whole world and all the galaxies and everything. Why just for a little thing with the Jewish people? Tzias Mitzrayim. So he says, so the Ibn Ezra answers from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. The Baruch Shem wanted to tell him, you experienced this, you know yourself that this is true. You saw all the Esamakas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and everything. So Anochi Hashem Alokecha, I was the one who did it all. So that's what we say. The first two parshas of Shema, Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, Kabbalah Sam Mitzvahs, and then we say at the end, Zechiras Tzias Mitzvah, we know that all of these things are true. We know that there's only one God, and the God gives Schar V'Yonish, and He knows everything that's happening at Torah and Shemaim. All the Ikori Amun were demonstrated on the occasion of Tzias Mitzvah. So we, after we say Shema, Yoyim Shemaya, Kabbalah Samach Shemaim, Kabbalah Sam Mitzvahs, so he mentions Zechiras Tzias Mitzvah. We know all of this is true because all of our ancestors witness all of these things at the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, the Rambam writes, the Prima Gadim writes that there are four different shitas, how much of Kriya Shema is there is. So he says, the Ramban holds only Pasuk Rishon, Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, and everything else is only Midirabban. That's the Ramban and the Melchamas. And then Rashi seems to hold the first Rashi, and Brachas holds Parsha Bishayna. Parsha Shni is only the Rabban. The first Taisus in the Mesipa says, the first two Parshias are there is. And by Yoimer is not part of Kriya Shema. And the Rambam writes, what constitutes Kriya Shema? Shema by Yom Shema and by Yoimer. So it's a fellow. What does by Yoimer have to do with the mitzvah? It doesn't say B'shoch B'chov Kumecho. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik and others say over the name of Rav Chaim, that the mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam doesn't count it. The Tzlach is a Sefer Ambroches, Tzion L'Nefesh Chaim. The Tzlach is a Sefer by the Nodi B'Yehuda. Ambroches and Amsochem and Ambeitzah. So on Brachas, he raises the question, how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of mentioning Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day? He only counts the mitzvah of Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim Halel Pesach as part of the Seder. But he doesn't list in the Sefer Mitzvahs Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's more than one possible good answer. A simple good answer is that the Rambam has 14, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam has the 14 guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So he says, whatever is only a drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't belong. Because in every generation, the Chachamim add on more and more and more drushes. So every time they come up with a new drusha, so you have to throw out another mitzvah, because you want to count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. So he says, it doesn't make sense. Because the Rambam's opinion is, and the Hagdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam takes issue with the Goyim. The Goyim say, Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSmem are only there to check your memory, to make sure that you remember the halachas l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that were every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Midrash HaTorah and Reshem is just to check that you didn't mix them up, that you have everything straight. But you can't darshan any new dinim from Midrash HaTorah and Reshem. The Rambam says that that's scandalous to maintain such a position like that. He says he means to say that every single machlokes in the Gemara, they had a tradition what the din was and they forgot it. So the most precious thing that the Jewish people have is the Torah. We forgot everything. And every page in the Mishnah is practically, every page in the Gemara, there's machlokes, they forgot everything. So the Rambam says, Chas v'shalom, whenever they had a tradition, they had a tradition. So there's no room for any machlokes. That's why the Rambam has the famous line. There's never any machlokes on Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. So they all ask, it's not accurate. Every so often there is machlokes on Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. But the Rambam says it doesn't make sense to have a machlekes on something if they had a tradition on it. So whatever the tradition is, that's the din. But when a new issue came up, and then they had the right to darshan with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSvam, so they came up with new chidush din. What context do we bring this up?
The Rambam, the three paragraphs.
So the Rambam writes in the 14th Klolim, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvos. So he writes, he's only going to count mitzvah, 630 mitzvah, lefi pshuta shal mikra. So the Ramban asks, what's wrong with Torah Shabbat Peh? So the Ramban didn't say anything wrong. The Ramban is Lishitosa, that the Chachamim and M generation had the right to darshan new dinim that they had no tradition on. So what are you going to do? You already have 613. So he said 613 Lefi Pshuta Shal Mikra. So it could be that that's why the Ramban doesn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, because that's only a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. In Parshas Re'eh, it says you should eat the korban pesach and matzah and mar. Laman tizkar sem tzeischlein kol yimei chayecha. So the Torah Shabbat Peh darshan is laman tazikir. You should mention, but lefi pshuta shal mikra doesn't go on zechiras yitzias from time every day. It says eat korban pesach and matzah in order that you should remember the story of yitzias from time. So that could be that that's a simple answer on the tzlach's kasha. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias from time every day in the Taryag Mitzvah? But they have two additional answers. Could be all the three answers, it could be all the answers are correct. So one of the answers that he gave is that the Rambam's opinion, the Prima Gaudim points out the Rambam has how much do you have to say in Kriya Shema? He says, Shema Ba'Yom, Shema Ba'Yomer. Ba'Yomer is not part of Kriya Shema, Ba'Yomer is a different mitzvah of Zechiras Tzitzis Mitzvah. So apparently the Rambam thinks that Zechiras Tzitzis Mitzvah every day is to enhance the mitzvah of Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, is not to recite any parsha, your favorite parsha, or to be Mavis Sedra every day. That's one opinion in the Gemara, that Kriyashma Lab Deraisa. Taisa's pasuk like that, Bekama Mekanis. Taisa holds that Kriyashma Lab Deraisa. Ayat Zed B'Shoch V'Hol Kamecha. Gemara says, no, you should learn something every day and every night. Learn a little bit Torah. It's the same as saying, V'Hogisa Bo Yomam V'Loy. You have to learn a little bit every day, learn a little bit every night. So the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam holds the mitzvah of B'shach v'chav kamecho is Kabbalah Zomach Shemayim, has to be this parasha. So the way to fulfill it is with the third parasha of saying Yitzias Mitzrayim also. That's like Anoch Hashem Elokecha Shehet Seisichem, the Eretz Mitzrayim. The mentioning of the Yitzias Mitzrayim enhances the Kabbalah Zomach Shemayim, because we have a historical tradition from our ancestors that they lived through all the Nisim and the Flores of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they know that it's true. So the Gemara says there in the first parak in Brachas, the pasuk appears twice in the words Bilam Kel Motziyam and Sam Kesafas Re'em Lo, very flowery lashon about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says Bikshu Bekvaya Parshas Bilam and in Kriyashma for the purpose of Eschiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, those psukim. But then the Gemara says they would have to say the whole long parsha. It's way too long. People have to run to work in the morning. They can't say they want to go to sleep at night. Also, you can't say such a long parsha. Why don't you just say that pasuk? The Gemara says, no, there's a din called parsha d'loy paskin, moisha anan loy paskin. You're not allowed to be mapsik in the middle of a parsha. From a psucha to a stuma, that's a parsha. One long parsha. So it'll be forever. It's very long. Parsha's bilam, it's a very long parsha. So that's what the Magen Avraham is bothered with Akasha. The Gemara in Megillah says, a different din called psucha d'loy paskin, moisha anan loy paskin. When you're lengthiest, I tell you, You can't stop in the middle of a pasuk. So here is, you can't stop in the middle of a parsha. We do it all the time when you're like Kriyas HaTorah. You don't always stop at a psuch and a stum. You always stop in the middle. Parsha's Balak. You stop in the middle. All the aliyahs, they all stop in the middle of the parsha. So the Magen Avraham works on their kashin and Shagazari and the Sefer Turi Evan and Rosh Hashanah works on their kashin. So Rav Soloveitchik gave his suggestion. He said that they're both the same. Called Parsha de la Paschal Moshe, called Psukha de la Paschal Moshe, is one and the same din. The din is you have to lane Kriyas HaTorah. Divrei Torah, you have to say Kirchsova. Torah Shevichsav, you have to say Kirchsova. So it depends. Does the din require you should say psukim b'toras psukim, you should say b'toras parsha. So by Kriyas HaTorah, the takana was every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the whole Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. You can't just give 3, 3, and 3. You have to, somebody has to get 4, because you need a minimum of 10 psukim. So the takana was b'toras psukim. So there, the din is called psukim de paska moshe, and not paska, not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. By Kriyas Shema, you want to add on Zechiras Tzitzias Mitzrayim to the 2 parshas of Shema Ba'ayayim Shamaya. So that you read a full parsha Shema and a full parsha, a whole paragraph of Ba'ayayim Shamaya. So the third, for the purpose of Zechiras Tzitzias Mitzrayim, that should also be a whole parsha. So there the din is called parsha de loy paskin Moshe and non loy paskin. Because you have to say Zechiras Tzitzias Mitzrayim as part and parcel of the Kriya Shema, so it has to be an entire parsha. So that's what he went further to suggest, that the Gemara has it in when you learn Ha'azinu, you have to stop in specific places because it's a poem, and if you read a poem and you pause in the wrong place, it kills the whole gist of the poem. So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara tells you the Rosh Hatevis is Hazivloch. The aliyahs start Hey Zayin Yud Vav Lamed Chof. Those are the 6 aliyahs. Hazina is divided into 6 aliyahs, and you're not allowed to make any hoisofas. That's what the Gemara says. Why? The Rav Soloveitchik said, because when you're laying Kriyas HaTorah, you're laying b'toras psukim. So there's a din called psukah l'paskah moshe. When you say Zichiyos Hitzias Mitzrayim with Kriyas Shema, you want to say b'toras haparsha. It should add on to Shema Ba'ayayim Shamaya to enhance the Kabbalah Samach HaShamayim. And the Shira Sazino has to be recited b'toras a poem, b'toras Shira. You have to stop with the Shira, where it makes sense to stop. If you stop in the wrong place in the poem, you kill the whole poem. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a discussion of the din. If a person practices Mishka Behema, a man or a woman practices Mishka Behema, so the person is Chayv Nisa, and the Gamasa Behema Taharogu. So the Mishnah asks, Imodim Chota Behema Mechota, what did the animal sin that you kill the animal? So the Mishnah gives 2 explanations. The Gemara has a whole discussion. Mishnah gives 2 explanations. Either Mishum Shabbos L'Adam Takol Al Yodai, or because of Kolam, because of the Abusha, that the person got the death penalty and the Behemah is going to be walking around. People will say, oh, that's the Behemah that Yankel sinned with, and Yankel is dead. He's in the cemetery because we killed him because he practiced Mishka Behemah. The Gemara says, what's the difference? Whether you hold from reason A or reason B, is it Mishum Takol or Mishum Kolam? So Gemara says the question that Afkamina Valchab, let's say a non-Jew violated Mishka Behem. That's one of the 7 mitzvahs Ben Enoch. So the Ben Enoch is not allowed to do it. So would you kill the Behem? So if it's Mishum Kolon, Mishum Bizoyan of the person. So the Gemara seems to assume we're not concerned about the Bizoyan of the person. He's not alive anymore. While people are alive, you have to give them Nochrim, you have to give them Kabar Abiyas when they're alive. After they die, only the Jewish people. There's a din of Kabar Abiyas by Jews, even Lachamisa. That's the din of Lo Yitama. That's the din of Avelos. That's the din of Lo Yitama, Kabar Abiyas, even after they die. But the goyim, only while they're alive, you have to give Kabar Abiyas. So Gemara seems to assume, if it's Mishum Takol Abasal Adam Takol Al Yodos, even if it's a Ben Noach who violated Mishka Behema, you should put the animal to death. But if it's Mishum Kala, and Kala means Bizoyan, so then only applies if the Balaver was a Yisrael. He's a Nochri, doesn't apply. So the Rashash on the Medrash Rabbah works on this Kasha. That in the Parsha it says, the Malach appears to Bilam, and he says, that's that the Medrash interprets it. If not, Lule natsa nipanai gam osko harakti va osa hechayesi. If the osan would have continued to go, I would have killed you and let the osan, leave the osan alive. But now that you made a whole spectacle and you started a whole conversation with the osan, so now I have to kill the osan also because of color, because of miksha, of bizoyin. It's a design that people will say that Bilam lost his life, the Malach killed him, because he had a whole argument with the Osan, and the Osan survived. So you see that you are concerned about Kolan, even if it's an Ochri. Unless you say he was a Novi, so a Novi has a different status. But that's the Rashash's Ma'orah, that Kash. Hakneimah Sanhedrin and the sugi of Takala v'kala nesum. There's no issue of Takalan by Nachrim. If here the matter seems to contradict it. Maybe it's a machlekes and a different midrashim.
And by this one also, right, Rafi probably puts the midrash that Bilam was also involved in Mishnah Behema with the Homer, no? It would be the same exact.
I don't think the Malach is killing him because of the Mishka Be'ema. Malach is killing him because the Osan didn't stop. So then if the Malach would have killed him because he did something wrong, nothing to do with the Be'ema, then he wouldn't have to kill the Be'ema. But now that he had a whole debate with his Be'ema, if he's going to kill Bilam, so it's going to be a busha, that the Ema should survive. So that's why he had to kill the Osan also. So that's because of Kala. That's because of Bizayin.
So couldn't we be Mechal between different types of Kala? If the reason isn't because of the Mishka Be'ema, and it's only because of the Kavut to the Malach or whatever, or when the argument is, then maybe there would be a Chiluk in that.
Could be. I just mentioned the Kasha. Could be that there are good terutzim. Yeah, the Rashash works on that kasha. There's a Gemara in the first parak. There's a very obscure Gemara in the first parak of Kiddushin, in the sugya of Yiud, about if a person sells his daughter as an Amayriya. The Gemara has a whole discussion where they say Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasaris, and it's very unclear. Usually Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasaris is a question. When you have a conflict between the kri and the ksiv, dadi paskin alach like the kri like the ksiv. There is, it doesn't seem to be an issue of a conflict between the kri and the ksiv. So the Balamor has a whole different interpretation on that Gemara. Rashi gives a derchik shot. So the Balamor has a whole different interpretation. That in that Gemara, the expression Yeshem la Masoris has a different connotation. It does mean you follow the Masoretic text, the ksiv, as opposed to the mikra, which is the kri. As long as there were kri ksiv. He says that sometimes there are phrases in Tanakh where it's self-understood that there's a word missing. So I think he gives an example. Ani shalom v'chi adaber heima la mochama. So he means ani ish shalom. Or it says, other psukim like that where it's self-understood there's a word missing. So he has over here, it says the malochim ishlach balak ben tzipor sent the messengers. Uksamim bi'adam. What does it mean? Uksamim bi'adam in Pasuk Zion, at the beginning of the Sedra. So he says they had to bring Ksamim to Bilam. Bilam had all the magical equipment in his own home. He says, Balamor says Ksamim bi'adam means Uschak Ksamim bi'adam. The word Schar is self understood. So the Balamor interprets that that's the machlek is there on a certain Pasuk in Mishpatim, Pashim Mishpatim. Do you interpret the pasuk as if it's self understood that there's a word missing or not? It's anu pshat in the Gemara. There's a famous comment that they say the name of the Vilna Goyen, and others question whether it's correct or not. The Rabbanu Shel Olam gave permission to Bilam to go. Go with them. Then it says, what is he angry? He told them, Kum lechitam. So they have a word in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The Talmidim wrote it in the name. He didn't write it himself. There's a difference between itam and imam. Itam means together, but not b'dei achas. Not necessarily the same. Imam means mamish together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kum lechitam, go along and you make some money on the deal. They promise you a lot of money, make money. Then it says in the Pasuk, Vayelech im sarimo, Pasuk chafam, Vayelech im, the Baruch Hashem told him to go itam, not imam. Imam means b'deya achas. And then v'yichar v'alekim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry because he went b'deya achas to curse B'nai Yisrael. So that's a question they ask. Is it really true that that's the difference between the word itam and imam? So they point out different psukim in Tanakh. But I think this idea, Itam and Imam, the Malbim has it also. Malbim has Antarach, so the Malbim has a sefer where he talks about Shemus Nirdofim, words that seem to be the same, but each one has a slightly different connotation. So he has this klal also, Itam and Imam. So the Eskan, the Malbim, how can you say that? It says in Lovam Garti, when Yaakov Avinu came back from living by Lovam, Im Lovam Garti, Im, it wasn't Im. The Targi Mitzvah Shamarti. He says, I kept mitzvahs. Laman was a gangster and he wasn't observant, he wasn't religious at all. How can he say, Im Lamangard? So they work on that kasha. Different kashas from Tanakh. It's questionable whether the word is correct or not, but the Malbim has the same. Malbim has the same idea. Not on this pasuk, on other psukim in Tanakh, that there's a difference between the word Imam and Itam. And Yeridaya in Hilchas Mila, and the same thing Hilchas Shabbos, there's one siman in Orach Chaim about Mila b'Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a minig, an old minig, based on a passage in the Zohar, a minig from the days of the Gaonim. It's based on the passage in the Zohar that the pasuk says, Bilam says in his Nevuah, Mimono Afar Yaakov Misperes Rova Yisrael. Who can count all of the offer that the Jewish people have? What offer do they have? So the Zohar says it refers to the minig that you, when you do a bris mila, you cut off the or ha'orla, you matman the or ha'orla ba'offer. You put it into offer. So this is discussed in both in Orach Chaim Hilchos Shabbos. Offer is muktzah. Eitz ma'avam and offer is muktzah machmas atzma. So how can you handle the offer? How can you push in the or ha'orla? Isn't everything muktzah? So they say whenever you, they quote Gemaras, whenever you have muktzah and you mazman it in advance to use it on Shabbos, so then the Gemara says you're allowed to use it for that purpose. Even though it's muktzah, it has a heta hishtamshus for that purpose. The Gemara says, let's say you have a sack of sand. So on Yom Tov, you mazman the sack of sand to do kisui hadam. You plan to shecht some chickens or turkeys on Yom Tov. So when you shecht chai v'yof, you need kisui hadam. So if you mazman the sack of sand in advance, so you're permitted to use it, it remains muktzah, but it's a heta hishtamshus for that purpose. Another purpose equally important or more important, but another purpose less important, not. Sometimes you mazman something so it becomes a kli, so it's no longer muktzah. But over here, the offer remains offer. So it does remain muktzah, but you have a heta hishtamshus, you have a heta to use, move it for that purpose. Towards the, there's a Rambam, in one of the big letters that he wrote, probably Geras HaShmad, where he talks about Islam and Christianity. So he interprets, I don't think it's Pshuto Shal Mikra, he says as a Melitza probably, there's a pasuk towards the end of the Nevuah Bilam, Oy mi echiyem misumo el. What does that mean? So the Rambam interprets, Rashi does not interpret like this, Poshepshat maybe is like Rashi. The Rambam says, who will be able to survive when we'll come to that era in history that a human being will crack himself up to be a god. Rashi says the word el means ela. When all of these things, it doesn't mean el at all. It means when all of these things will happen. But the Rama quotes that, who can survive through Christianity when you have, they claim that a human being was really a god. That's the famous pshat from the Rama. But the end of the parsha has the story about Pinchas. Zimi ben Solu was Boel Aramis Bifarhesia, Leini Kol Yisrael, so Pinchas kills him. So the name Pinchas is spelled with a Yud. So the in the Sifrei Masora on the Tanakh, they say, throughout Tanakh, the name Pinchas is always spelled with a Yud. Maybe there's a question whether one place is it supposed to be spelled with a Yud or without, but usually Ruba de Ruba is spelled with a Yud, it may be in all places. So that's why. If the person's name is Pinchas and he gets married, you're supposed to write an iksuba. You get divorced, you're supposed to write the Pinchas with a Yud, because that's the correct spelling. Pinchas, you're supposed to pronounce it differently also. E. That pasuk says that, Vayah Pinchas v'yikach romach bi'odo. He didn't have the romach before, because they were all sitting in the Beis Hamedrash. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Nikan, you see from this pasuk, you're not allowed to take a clay Zion into the Beis Hamedrash or into the Beis HaKnesses. I remember there used to be a Jewish policeman who had to say Kaddish. So he used to come into my father's shul, so he used to go with a gun in his holster. So my father said he has to leave the gun in the office. So the shul, you're not allowed to take it into the sanctuary. You're not allowed to take in a sack and magula. You're not allowed to take a knife that's exposed into the shul. After the Second World War, the Jews went to Eretz Yisrael. So the Nazis would sometimes hang people. They would hang Jews. By us, we do hanging also. We have clear, but the person is dead already. The Nazis would hang them with death by hanging. They would kill them by hanging. So the heavy rope would be the murder weapon that they killed people with. So some people started a minig. I don't think they had the Kosel Maravi yet at that time. I don't remember all the details, but in the Shabbos and Shuvah, it's called Mavasa. Barat Meshulam Ruach, he has this discussion of this topic. They started a minig. Maybe it was by the Kosel Maravi. I forgot already all the details. They took some of those ropes that the Nazis used to murder people, and they used it as a gartel for the Shliach Tzibur to daven, to be rachmei shamayim, that men shamayim, they should see, look what happened to the Jewish people. They killed us and they hung us to death. They killed everybody. So he has a whole discussion, are you permitted to do that? So there's one discussion, maybe it's also about no, because the din is that the Saif that the Bezdin used to administer Mises Bezdin, or the Sudish and Echnat, but if a person gets chenek, so you have to bury it with the person. So some Achrayim say, in Hilcha Shechita, they have this discussion. Are you permitted to use the sword that the Goyim used to kill people with? Illegally. They would murder people with sword, the government that killed people. Are you permitted to buy that sword and to use it to Shech Bein? Maybe it's also Banu. Maybe this din that the Suda Shenechmakbo and the Saif Shenerekbo have to be buried with the Harugi Bezdin. Maybe that's because they're Asamanos. So and maybe it's not only Asamanos if it's a Mises Bezdin. Maybe if any murder weapon may not is Asamanos. So maybe you're not allowed to use, maybe you're not allowed to use the rope at all. Maybe you have to bury it. And even if you hold that it's not Asamanos, but maybe it's like a murder weapon that you're not allowed to bring it into the Beis HaMedrash. You hear the davening, so it's like, Chazan is going to use it as a garpon. So the Kol Mevasa has a tshuva about that topic. Is that proper to have such a practice? The Or HaChaim has a comment. The Sfarno has it before him, but the Or HaChaim has a little more. In the opening of the parasha, the beginning, we sometimes go to Chassidish Rebbe to get a brocha. So here it says that they sent a message to Bilam. Yadaiti, because we all know Esa Sheta Varech Mevaruch Masheta, all you are. Whoever you bless gets it. But your bracha is amikuim, your klala is amikuim. So the Arachaim says, I don't think he had a Sfarno. I'm sure he didn't have a Sfarno. He said, it's like the Sfarno. They said, it's not true. That's what they chant for him, they wrote it. He only had the curse, the curse. He was a negative. Bilam was a negative character. He only had the curse, the curse. But just to chant for him, so they said, whoever you bless gets a blessing, whoever you curse gets a curse. That's very interesting. A person only has a curse, the curse. Does not occur. A very, very negative person. Yeah. And then the parsha, throughout the parsha, Balak, Melech Moav, keeps on bringing a korban. So the Gemara has a tradition that Rusa Moaviah was a descendant of Balak, Melech Moav. So why was she zeicher that Dovin HaMelech was her descendant after a few generations? And he said so many shiras who said brochas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did she do to deserve such a descendant? So the Gemara says it was due to the fact that her ancestor, Balak, brought so many karbanas. He brought the karbanas shalo l'shma. He brought the karbanas. He thought that if you give presents to the gods, then you can bribe them into doing any crazy thing that you want. That's how they up there with the Zara have an attitude. They think that they visualize that gods are like human beings. If you pay them enough money, everybody has his price. Pay them enough money, so they'll give into whatever you want. So if you bring enough karbanas to the idol, so then the idol will do whatever you want. So even though Balak brought the karbanas completely shalol l'shma, the Gemara says, Yolam yaseh gonam b'mitzvah shalol l'shma, b'toch shalol l'shma b'al l'shma. And look what happened over here. Because Balak brought so many karbanas, totally shalol l'shma, as his intention was to curse the Jewish people, That's why his descendants, his great granddaughter, whatever, Rusa Ma'aviyah, was Zecha, she yatzim man of David, who praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the whole Tehillim. I apologize I came so late. Okay.